A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Text. Filmed at Sydney Opera House on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. A Netflix comedy special.
All right, Sydney Opera House, please welcome to the stage, Celeste Barber.
A title appears. Celeste Barber. Fine, thanks. A brunette white woman, Celeste, grabs a mic.
I am Sydney, what's up? This is awesome. Hey, you guys, welcome to my Netflix special. Ah, this is wicked. I'm so excited to be here. My husband and I have been together for 19 years, right? And the success of our relationship is 100% based on distance.
She moves her hand outwards.
And being away from each other. We are so good at missing each other, so good at it. But then lockdown happened and he was everywhere. All the fucking time. If his face wasn't here, his dick was here.
She holds her hand close to her face. She turns her head. She knocks her head with the mic, then glares.
It's too much. Everything was blown out of proportion, you know. Everything was magnified. Well, not his dick, that's to scale.
She holds up her thumb, then points.
But 19 years, that's a long time if you ask me. We've been through a lot together, my husband and I. You know, I've been the stepmother to his daughter since I was 21. We've got a really, really strong bond. But I've got to tell you, lockdown, it nearly broke us. How the fuck did people fall pregnant during that time? I thought, yeah, this is our COVID baby. We couldn't keep our hands off each other. How? We couldn't get far enough away from each other the entire time. Sometimes we would just spend the whole day sitting on opposite ends of the couch in complete silence and every now and then just flip the bird at each other.
She holds up a middle finger.
Yeah, mate, you can have that today and take a couple for tomorrow as well. 20 minutes from divorce the entire time. Wait, what? The actress Jamie Lee Curtis, she's been married for 27 years, right? 27th. And she was asked a few years ago in an interview, what is the secret to a long marriage? And she said, don't leave.
Celeste rolls her eyes and lowers her mic. She shakes her head.
That's what she said. She went, you just don't leave. Yeah, you just have to stay on the bus. And the bus keeps on going. The scenery outside may change, but you just have to stay on the bus. Oh, yeah, I don't really think many of us are saying that after lockdown, are we? I would have jackknifed that bus into a tree, set fire to the fucker and run a mile if I could have. It wasn't all bad though, I have to say. I did learn a few things about my husband during that time. I learnt that every time he has a drink of water, he wants a high five. Every time. Oh, look at that, babe. It's 10 a.m. and I've just finished my second litre of water. Like, well done, darling. The medal ceremony will be at 6. Good on you. I learnt that every time we have a fight, he cleans the house.
She winks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you better believe I pick some unnecessary fights with that man. I also realised how often he wants to have sex with me. But more importantly, and I say no. And I didn't realise at all. Like, he'll try all different ways as well. He'll try to be spontaneous. Like, hey, babe, look, the boys are on their iPads. Do you want a little bit of afternoon delight? No, thank you.
She furrows her brow.
Or he'll try to be romantic. Like, look, I just ran us a little bubble bath. Come on, let's have a little bath together. I'm like, no, I'm clean, mate. Get away. He gave up after a while. Sometimes he'd just jump out in front of me completely naked, like, what are you up to?
Celeste stands with her legs spread. She hip thrusts.
Oh, nothing with you.
She strikes the same pose.
Even me lying there sound asleep didn't stop him. I would be snoring. And he'd just go, hey, you want a little? I'm like, no, stop it, get off. Oh, well, can't I just lie here and finish myself off then? Yeah, but make sure you clean it up. He goes, pardon? Don't worry, I'll pick a fight with you later. Don't worry about it.
She pretends to wave someone off.
I will say, though, after 19 years together, he said the most romantic thing he has ever said to me during that time. I'll never forget it. He came up to me one day and he looked into my eyes and he said, hey, babe, let's go to bed and look at our phones until they run out of charge.
She tugs her shirt. Oh.
I fucked him all night. So being at home with my kids full time, it made me realise how quickly they are growing up and how much I'm not coping with it. I'm not coping with it at all. I want them to be babies forever. Like, I will scream at my children when they outgrow their clothes and I just refuse to buy them new ones. Like, no, well, you made that choice to grow up, buddy. Sucked in, that's on you. My poor 11-year-old's clothes are so tight, he's at school in a tank top like a fucking Britney fan. Like, get in there, babe, she's free, represent. Off you go, get in. My boys are 8 and 11. I still sanitise their dummies just in case. Sometimes I'll just push them over in the street and hope that they'll cry and only want to hug me. I wasn't able to breastfeed either of my boys when they were babies and now I'm like, do you guys want to try? We should try.
She grips her breast through her shirt.
I'm not okay. So I'm trying to grab as many moments with them as I can. So when I'm at home, I've started this little nightly routine with the boys, a little turn down service, if you will. My boys, they share a room. They always fucking will. And they've got two little single beds. And I like to go in there and get it all set up for them. So, well, you know, turn down the lights, put some stars on the ceiling and, you know, maybe some lovely lavender smells or something really lovely. And then the boys come in and they hop into bed and we like to sing a little song together. We love the classics. Our favourite is Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are. I always think about, like, what memories my boys are going to have when they're older. And, you know, I think about what memories they're going to have of me as well. And I really, really hope this is one of them because I think it's just such a special time for them. So I started adding wine to this little nightly routine. What? Well, it can't be all about the children. And look, let's face it, it was during lockdown, so I was fuck-eyed drunk midweek most of the time. And after a couple of bottles of wine by about 5 p.m, I realised I was moving a little bit away from singing Twinkle Twinkle and moving a little bit more toward performing Casey Chambers circa 2002. Am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? Nah. And you just know that that shit cranks up as the weekend rolls around. You know, by Saturday, we've opened up a bottle of tequila, the baggies have come out. And I realise, well, they're growing up. Everything's fucked. And we're all going to die anyway, so... Absolutely everybody, 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 absolutely anybody in the whole world. Yeah, by Sunday, my kids are traumatised. Yeah. Yeah, Sunday's fun. Let's walk around the house. And I'm like, come on, boys. It's time for our little nightly routine. And I realise they've been in bed since 2 p.m. pretending to be asleep. Like, kids are so smart these days. Holy shit. They are so smart now. Like, I knew nothing when I was growing up. Nothing at all. And that is how me and my parents liked it. Like, you know, if my parents said we were going somewhere, he just got in the car, right? Yeah, he just got in the car. He didn't ask where you were going. Fucking idiot. He's got in the car. Or if you did ask, because you were forced to by your stupid sister, it was always met with clenched teeth and a glare from my dad going, get in the car.
Shit, sorry.
My parents would just blatantly lie to us. They were like, come on, girls, we're going to go to Disneyland. And all of a sudden, you just find yourself lying there getting your first pap smear. Like, what the?
She holds her arms in the air and leans back.
I didn't think Splash Mountain was like this.
She moves her hand near her crotch.
Can't do that these days. Oh, no way. Woke little fucks. I have a restraining order out on you if you did that. I need to give my children a full-blown itinerary of what we are doing every single day, and I need to check in with them every 10 minutes to make sure they are emotionally vibing with the day's schedule.
Celeste makes a face.
It's too much. It's just, it's exhausting. But I'm trying to keep up. I am, you guys. I'm really trying to keep up. See, my boys were playing together, and my 8-year-old called my 11-year-old a pussy. And I went, excuse me, no, please do not say that to him. That is derogatory to women. And he came marching back into me and he went, why? I didn't say it to you and he's not a woman.
She holds up her finger and furrows her brow. She goes to say something, then stops.
Ah, fuck. That's so smart. I love watching my boys play together. It reminds me of when I was little, I used to play with my big sister. Her name's Olivia. She's about 4 years older than me. And I was absolutely obsessed with her when we were growing up. And we were completely different as well. She was all like Pearl Jam and angst.
She rolls her eyes and tilts her head.
And I was all like Spice Girls and Ritalin sandwiches. Like...
She licks the air and takes high steps across the stage. She moves her arms awkwardly.
But I was obsessed with her, and it didn't matter what she did to me either. She once used my head as a step to get into the pool. Just quickly, we had steps to get into the pool. They were fine to use, but she wanted to use my head. So I was in the pool, she stood on my head, and as she dived off, she flicked my head and I went on the side of the pool. Blood went fucking everywhere. And I remember as I was coming up from my blood bath, she was just screaming at me going, don't tell Mom! And I was like, I won't. They won't, please, please just keep playing with me, please. She also told me that we had an older brother named Michael and that he had died from face rabies.
She squints slightly.
Yeah, the worst type of rabies. She made me promise I wouldn't say anything to Mum and Dad because it was still really hard for them.
Celeste makes an emotional expression.
She told me that Mum and Dad had buried him under the garage to keep him close. She then took me down to said garage so we could remember him together. And as I was frantically looking around for the shrine to Michael, she pushed me in there, turned the light off, closed the door, and locked it. So long as she wanted to hang out with me, I was more than happy to be haunted by my fake dead brother's ghost. The only people cooler than my big sister when I was growing up were her friends. Oh, shit. When her friends used to come around to our house, I would turn it on. Honestly, they would get the best of me. You fuckers have to pay for it. They got it for free back then. Yeah, I loved it. It's like the Super Bowl for me. I got so excited. I remember my mum would be like, Olivia, Jane's here. And I'm like, oh, we're fucking on.
She does a few hops.
Fucking, of course Jane's here. Fucking Jane, yeah, fucking Jane. Jane's here! I'm so excited. I just walk up to my parents and I'm like, look alive, you two. Don't you fuck this up for me. Jane!
She holds up her hand.
Jane! Hold on! The second Jane walked into my house, I'd never been cooler. Coolest person ever. Just walked up to him and was like, hey, Jane, is it? Whatever. Yeah. Yeah, so at school today, didn't care.
She widens her eyes.
I just spoke directly to Jane. And then I'd hide in really random parts of the house, just in case I was needed for anything.
She stands behind a mic stand.
Hide and seek? No, okay. Or maybe Jane needed a snack. And then I just appear from nowhere, like a real estate agent at my own open home. All the useless information in the world. Jane, how are you going? Nice to see you. You after a snack, are you? Yeah, I can help you with that. Just come through the open plan kitchen. I'll take you to the pantry. You'll notice here at the pantry that when you open the door, the light goes on. Not many people know that. Yeah. So please help yourself to a snack. And if you want a little bit later, I'll show you how to use the steps to get into the pool.
She points, then gives a thumbs up.
Yeah, I've never been great socially. No. And it's only getting worse because now people actually want to hang out with me. And I don't want to. And I don't want to do it. Because I don't know how to do it. I find it hard. I find like small talk really, really hard. Like I'm great for 5 minutes. I could walk into any party, make some inappropriate yet hilarious observations of everyone. And then, you know, I'll compliment the host on her really amazing, expensive decor. And then I'm out. I have got nothing else to offer. And I start to panic and I'll start to make fun of some kid's underbite. I'm like, fucking, have you ever seen
it? She mimes an underbite.
It's not good. And my husband can see that I'm panicking as well. And he just swoops in. He fucking swoops in and gets me out of there like a hero. Tell you what, my husband, he is so good in social situations, which really fucks me off. Because I just don't think someone who looks that good should also be good at life. You know what I mean? Like, pick a lane, come on. But he is. He's so good socially. It's like he becomes a conversationalist, which is interesting because in our marriage, he's nonverbal, yet with complete strangers, he's chatty fucking Kathy.
She moves one hand like a mouth and gives the audience a look.
Do you know his favourite place in the world? Front seat of an Uber.
She raises her eyebrows and nods.
That's not what we call it.
She gestures to her pelvis.
He bloody loves the front seat of an Uber and he'll fight me for it as well. He's like, move, bitch, I've got fat to chew, get out of here. And he jumps up front and off he goes. All chatty McGee and emotionally available all of a sudden. And then if there's, you know, just a bit of like a natural lull in conversation, he's got this repertoire of bullfuckery that he just whips out, ready to go. He's always got something to say about the weather. He's got some very vague statistics on horticulture. I'm just usually in the back Googling myself.
She pretends to type on a phone.
Also, what is horticulture?
She continues to type.
And he's up front getting all political, having the fucking time of his life. So I've been watching him because I want to learn. I want to get better at it. So we're at a family function and I watched him. Just walked up to a group of people he didn't know. Like that too. No one was like, get over there, you fucker. He just did it on his own. He walked up to a group of people and he started talking. And they started talking back. And then everyone was just chatting and no one was sweating. It was weird. And all the women became really interested in horticulture all of a sudden. And it looked quite enjoyable. So I thought, well, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. That seems easy. So I saw a group of people. I walked up to them all confident. And I went, hello. Well, you all seem like cunts. Who wants a photo?
She grins and poses with her arms slightly out and one foot turned. A woman in the audience puts a hand over her eyes.
Did anyone else think that an international pandemic would be a good time to come off antidepressants?
She raises her eyebrows.
No? Just me? Ah, let's get into it then. So, coming off antidepressants is a bag of flaccid dicks.
Celeste closes her eyes and turns her head.
The worst. And the antidepressants I was on, they take about 6 weeks to come out of your system, you know, if you do it properly. Look, you can do it cold turkey if you have a fucking death wish, but it is advised that you do it slowly, yeah? And just let them kind of wean out of your system over about 6 weeks or so. So I've wanted to come off antidepressants for ages because I'm fixed.
She poses with her hand held horizontally under her face. She pushes her hair back and puts a hand on her hip.
Yeah, it's not how it works, but anyway. But every time I talk to all of my doctors about it, they were all like... All of my doctors. What am I, fucking Joe Rogan? All of my fucking doctors. Whenever I spoke to my two doctors about it, they were like, well, it's not actually a really good time for me because I was travelling so much and work was just so up and down. And they were like, you just don't have any consistency in your life whatsoever. Thank you so much. So when lockdown happened, they thought, well, you know, now might be a good idea because I was just in one place. I was like, yeah, that's a really great idea, you guys. That might be some of your best work. Yeah. Yeah, let's trap her in a tiny apartment where nothing in the world is certain and take away the one thing that's holding her together. So I decided to do it, and I got to tell you, it was really, really rough for me because I realised when I was medicated, I was kind of operating in a state of being a bit like numb and buzzed all the time. And then I realised when I was coming off antidepressants, I was operating more in a state of being a bit kind of like a complete fucking monster. And no one did it tougher than my husband because he just never knew what he was gonna get. He'd come into the kitchen and be like, hi, babe, how you going? Do you want anything from the shops? And I was like, fucking shops! Yeah! Shop, 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 fucking shop. How can shops? Shops. Ooh, what do I want from the shops? What don't I want from the shops? Shops. Can I please have 6 Twix and 4 Mars bars? Oh, and some cinnamon.
She sticks her tongue out, then crosses her eyes. She blinks and moves her head quickly. She turns to the side and grins.
He's like, 6 Twix and 4 Mars bars. And then I just turn, and some cinnamon.
She moves her foot lightly across the floor.
I wanted some cinnamon as well. You never listen to me! Wait, and 4 Mars bars and some cinnamon! And he's like, hey, it's okay, come on. It's gonna be okay.
She turns and raises her eyebrows.
Oh, it's okay, is it? Oh, it's gonna be okay, is it? The blatant disrespect that I constantly get for, I became like a wronged Cate Blanchett. Like, how dare you, of all fucking people, think you can speak to me? Wow, and every character from Lord of the Rings, it seems. You think you're going to the shops, my precious? Think again, motherfucker!
Celeste scowls, then exhales. She takes quick steps back over to a small table and picks up a cup.
It was a really magical time for all of us, I think. So, I've also got ADHD. That's not the joke. Good to know where we're at, though, Sydney. Good to know where we're at. ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, which pretty much means I find it really hard to retain anything, and I find it really hard to, like, stay still and focus. Now, I was diagnosed with ADHD when I was 16, and back then, oh my God, there was so much shame around it. Like, I thought my whole world was over when I was diagnosed. I was so embarrassed that I didn't want anyone to know. And I found school impossible, right? So my parents thought they'd try and talk to some of the teachers just to let them know that I had been diagnosed and I was starting medication in a bit of a hope to, you know, try and get them on board. It didn't work. I remember one of the teachers was like, well, Celeste, you know, now you need to take all the rubbish out for the whole school for the rest of the year, okay? And we won't tell your classmates that you're a little bit fucking... Blah, 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 blah.
She taps her forehead.
Terrible. It's much better now, which is good. It's kind of cool to have ADHD now. And everyone seems to have it.
Celeste squints.
And everyone seems to use it as a bit of an excuse as well, don't they? Like someone will cut in front of you in the line at the cafe. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. That's because I'm neurodiverse. And I'm like, oh, hello. Me too. I've been here for 40 minutes. Get to the back of the line, Elon Musk. Fuck off. Get out.
She shakes her head.
But people just throw these terms around now willy-nilly to justify shitty behaviour. Like, you know, you'll hear a politician say... Sorry, politician. A pervert. Sorry.
She mimes turning a knob and raises her eyebrows. She squints as she keeps pretending to turn it slightly.
Yeah, that joke hits differently in America.
Celeste widens her eyes.
Ooh. But, you know, you hear a politician at a press conference or something and they're like, yeah, hi, I've actually just been told that I'm on the spectrum. That's why I put my hand up her skirt. Okay. Well, you know, you hear a footballer say, I sexually assaulted her is because my mum just said that I've got ADHD. No, I hate that. I'm the poster girl for ADHD, right? I was diagnosed young and I've been on and off medication for it for decades. And I can tell you now, I have never stuck my dick in anything that didn't want it.
She gives the audience a look, then walks over to the small table and gets her cup. She takes a drink.
True story. I've started new medication for ADHD, which is good. It helps me focus a little bit more, but one of the side effects is that it really cranks up my anxiety. Like, it's actually quite full on. So I have to move my body to be able to cope with it. So I walk a lot. I love walking. It's kind of, walking is my jam. And I do it as often as I can. And I try and get up as early as I can to do it. Try and get up about 6 a.m. to get it done when no one's around. Or so I thought. Turns out there's a lot of people up at 6 a.m. walking. And everyone that's up at 6 a.m. walking fucking love to talk about being up at 6 a.m. walking.
She puts her hand by her knee.
It's like I joined some morning walking chatty club that I don't want to be a part of. I'll just be out there, you know, dragging my sorry ass, just trying to get it done, and then I'll see one of them. It's usually, you know, an older, straight, white man just out enjoying his privilege.
She looks upwards.
This works. You know, taking up all the path because he doesn't need to pick a side. It's all fucking his.
She beams and gestures around.
But then, when he starts to get a little bit closer, who's never too sure what side of the path to go on, is he?
She grins and points.
Oh, yeah. What a fun game to play at 6 a.m. Fucking... You gotta... And then when he gets closer again, it's like it turns into some sort of Irish jig. Like, and I'll pick a side, Michael Flatley, come on! My favourite people who are up at 6 a.m. walking are women of a certain age, and they're usually in a sun visor and a fanny pack because they don't know how long they're going to be out for, do they?
She struts across the stage and trades her mic to the opposite hand.
Oh, they are out and about. They have got absolutely nothing planned, yet no one's as busy as they are.
She continues to strut across the stage, then does a catwalk-like turn and goes to the centre of the stage. She mimes taking something out of a fanny pack, moving it by her mouth, then putting it back.
Busy. So much on. So much to do. Tell you what they're not going to do, though. Help out with the grandkids. That's it.
She turns to the audience as she struts, then slows.
Oh. I love those women. The one person you cannot avoid on a morning walk is a second wave feminist who just finished her workout. And she's always in matching activewear that's just a shade too light or too dark for her skin, so she always looks nearly completely naked. And it freaks me out, because I don't know if she knows. It's early. And I'm like, oh, excuse me. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, no, sorry. It's just I could see the outline, so I wasn't sure.
Celeste gives a thumbs up and widens her eyes.
Yeah, no, I get it. Free the nip, free the lip, whatever. I love it. And they're just so loud and so confident, and they want you to know how loud and confident they are. They see me and they're like, I see you over there, my bitch. Look at you, you gorgeous girl. In your thinning tights and your oversized sweater, yes. Go and get that day by the balls, you sexy boss bitch. Look at us being boss bitches. And don't let any man or unattractive woman tell you what you can't fucking have. We are bitches and bosses.
She poses with her arm in the air, then lowers it and grimaces.
You know what else I don't need in my morning walk? Shitting dogs. So many shitting dogs. And they wait for me. I'm telling you, they wait for me. They do. They see me come around the corner. And they hunch over.
She stands with her knees bent and her hand held out in front of her legs. She lets her mouth hang open.
And you just know their sphincter is going off in excitement.
She sticks her tongue out.
And they stare into my soul.
She holds out two fingers.
And they shit as the sun rises behind them. And you can't get away from it. I'm telling you, I've tried. You try not to make eye contact and I run away. I don't run. I walk away at a reasonable pace and they come after me. They're like, where are you going? I can take this on the road. Where are you going?
She shakes her head and grabs her cup.
Shitting dogs. I get sent a lot of things these days. Some of them are gifts from people, which is lovely. People are very nice to me, and I really appreciate it. But, thanks. I have to say, most of the things that get sent to me are usually products from companies, right? You know, they send them to me in a hope that I'll promote them or do like an unboxing. You know what unboxing is? It's where a company will send a product to an influencer, and the influencer will set up 40,000 lights. Lock their kids in the bathroom for 2 hours, and then they will film themselves opening the gift, right? Like, oh my God, you guys.
She gestures in front of her.
I just got given this most amazing gift from Prada. It's actually worth $11 billion. And I thought it would be really amazing for me to share it with all of you, because you guys are never gonna have it because you're broke and ugly. Like and subscribe.
She holds up a peace sign.
Unboxing. I was sent 8 vibrators in 2 months.
Celeste eyes the crowd, then squints. She puts a hand on her hip and nods.
That is a lot of plastic dicks to be sent to your house. And look, I get it. I understand that I have a following and an audience that I engage with, and it would be smart for companies to send me things in a hope that I would promote them to you rock stars. But 8 dicks? I feel like they've kind of missed the mark a little bit with me. I feel like someone in that office isn't doing their job. Like, I am not the most sexual person. I barely put out.
She mimes gagging and shakes her head.
But look, ladies, I will say this. I do believe that we all have, like, you know, a little sex goddess within. Whatever. But I'm not the demographic, because that is what society tells us, right? That is what marketing tells us. The people that you see in ads for vibrators are usually really young, completely hairless, with very bushy eyebrows.
She grimaces.
It's not... It is not me. It is a very specific type of person. Like, you would never see a teacher. I'm talking an actual maths teacher in an ad for a vibrator. You're thinking about your maths teachers? You should. Can you imagine seeing a teacher in an ad for a vibrator? And it'd be like, had a hard day in class.
She saunters to the side with her butt sticking out behind her. She pretends to wipe her forehead.
Algebra really winding you up.
She shakes her wrist.
Sick of having to finger bang yourself behind the tuck shop? Why not try the Jackrabbit 10,000? It would sell like hotcakes. Now, I get these vibrators sent to me from a myriad of different companies. I've got one sent to me from Gwyneth Paltrow. Ooh, yeah. It was truly amazing, you guys. It was actually made from organic duck fat. And holistically sourced plastic that actually benefits the ocean. And one of the features is that when you insert it, it just dissolves inside of you. And after you orgasm, butterflies just fly out.
She squats with her legs spread and mimes a butterfly with her hand. She squats again and flutters both hands like wings flying from between her legs. She moves elegantly.
And they turn into cash and they fly back to Gwyneth. I got another vibrator sent to me from a men's company. That one came uncharged and I had to pay for postage. And that one only had three settings on it that all sounded like some form of car. Like, the first setting was like a car that wouldn't start. Like, no.
She peers down toward her crotch and looks around.
And the second setting was like an F1 race car. Like, no, fucking hell. And the third setting sounded like some sort of tractor duck. Like, and it came with a really thick instruction manual, about as thick as fucking Da Vinci Code. And I was like, how many ways are there to use this thing? Honestly, I thought I'd just stuck it in me and all of a sudden, Lenny Kravitz would appear.
She holds out her arm.
Oh, I love Lenny Kravitz. Yeah, I really love Lenny Kravitz. Yeah, he's got a lifetime membership to my wank bank, that man. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know what a wank bank is? You know, it's the stuff you think about when you wank. And you bank it.
She taps her head, then toys with her microphone. She looks off with a small smile. Mm. Celeste startles.
Well, sorry, I also was sent a vibrator by Lily Allen, but Lily was a little bit different because it had like a little sucker, like a little...
She eyes the audience, then licks rapidly near her hand.
I look like Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker on a red carpet.
She flicks her tongue out by her hand.
Stop it. But I was excited to use Lily because I thought, you know, maybe it'd be a little bit more than just a dull-down cattle prod that I'm used to. Maybe it might be a bit of a slow burn, who knows? Maybe some candles might light themselves and some soft music will start playing. Maybe that really hot guy from Bridgerton will just tap on the window. Season one, yeah? What the fuck happened in season two? I was watching season two of Bridgerton and going, no. No. Why are they all talking and wearing clothes? No. Back to season one. Season one of Bridgerton has had over 1 billion downloads. I'm half of those. So I had a bit of time to myself and my husband took the kids out for an hour or a year. I've got no fucking idea how long they were gone for. And I was like, all right, Lily, what's up? And I popped Lily on my situation, and oh my God, I clamped down on that bitch. Woo. I clamped down on that bitch like a Kardashian on a skinny white fuckboy. I was like, come here.
She mimes pulling something close.
Things got very intense, very quickly. There was no candles, no soft music, not a single member of the Bridgerton cast showed up. Lily's got teeth. She nearly bit my clit off. There was nothing slow about it. Instead, everything kind of happened all at once. I laughed hysterically, cried a little, farted.
She puts a hand on her butt, then shifts it to her hip and leans forward. She winces.
I'm like a demon. But then kind of randomly just found myself in the kitchen making kids' lunches with numb legs, like...
She wobbles her legs and touches the floor.
Oh, fucking Lily. Oh, Lily.
She grabs her legs one by one and moves them forward a couple of steps.
Oh, Lily.
She exhales and grabs her cup, then smiles as she takes a drink.
I said that at one of my other shows, and a woman stood up and screamed out, "Send the link!"
Celeste steps backwards away from the crowd. She glances away and crosses one of her arms.
Sat back down next to her husband like, "Fucking don't you. You get me perfume for Christmas every year. This year I get my own gift."
She points downwards, then crosses her arms again.
Send the link. So it turns out that I'm quite political. I didn't know I was. But it turns out that I have got a lot to say and absolutely nothing to back it up with. Nothing at all. But the internet, it makes us all think that we should say whatever we want, whenever we want, and however we want to say it, and that everyone in the world is dying to hear it. The internet makes us all now believe that we are much smarter, talented, and skilled than we really are. Like, I have never in my life met more people who call themselves entrepreneurs than I have in the past few months. Oh my God. No one's just like a doctor. Or like an engineer, boring anymore. No, everyone is an entrepreneur. And they love to tell you as well, don't they? Like, yeah, hello, hello, hi, I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. And being an entrepreneur means that I assist in the content creation of a multimedia platform, really focusing on the grassroots level of connectivity between brands near and far, and making sure we have laser focus on buzzwords like connectivity and grassroots. I'm an entrepreneur. You're like, oh. Oh, okay. You sound very busy. what does a work week look like for you? Oh, yeah, thank you, as an entrepreneur. Yeah. I sell felt hats at the markets every other Wednesday between 11:16 and 11:24. My partner's also an entrepreneur. He collects butterflies. Yeah, and actually his parents have just bought us our second clifftop property right next to Chris Hemsworth. We're doing really well.
She puts a hand on her hip.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. You're not an entrepreneur. You're a cunt. And they've always got really weird names as well, don't they? Like they never used to. In 1999, it was Troy and Alicia. But now everyone knows them as Lacrosse and Spatula.
She brushes her hair to the side.
The world's gone mad. Fucking bananas. Do you know who's gonna save us? Rihanna? Oh, yeah. I shit you not, my friends. Rihanna is going to save us. She is the queen of all things. She's all about inclusivity and body positivity, and all the products she puts out into the world do the exact same thing. She has literally put her money where her mouth is, right? She has a lingerie line called Savage X Fenty, and it just caters to so many different types of bodies. And now, because of her, other lingerie companies are starting to follow suit. Even Victoria's Secret has started to finally expand their size range, which is so great. Although I will quickly say about Victoria's Secret, they can try a little bit harder because fuck knows they tried really hard to make us hate ourselves for decades. So they can, yeah. now we have Rihanna. And everything's fixed. And her Savage X Fenty lingerie, it's just so sexy. It's all really sexy. Even the names of the products are really sexy. One of the products is called the Glossy Flossy Quarter Cup Bra. Yeah, no longer the over-shoulder boulder holder.
She shimmies.
Another product she's got is called the Little Tart Open Back Skirt. Shut up, that's hot. There's another one that's called the Gathered Mesh Crotchless Catsuit. Wow, that's hot. I was on her website buying everything and I realised the one thing she didn't have on there was the last day of period odourless oversize undies. You know the ones? Yeah, you know the ones? They hold your lettuce leaves in place while absorbing your womb juice.
Celeste touches near her crotch and nods. She doubles over.
A guy up the back just went, oh my God.
She stamps her foot, then puts her hands on her knees.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Where did I lose you, sir? Was it the lettuce leaves or the womb juice? Oh, yes. Have you guys ever seen a Savage X Fenty runway show? Yeah, shit, Bill. It's hot. Pop that in your wank bank. You can have that for free. Oh. Everyone on that runway is just so diverse. There's just so many different types of bodies up there. So many different shapes, you know, big, small, black, white. Some are lumpy, some are bumpy, whatever, but they are all very bendy. People on that runway that can slut drop whilst licking their back and keeping an assertive sexual eye contact at all times. Queens so flexible that they can kick and twerk and breastfeed all at the same time. They're all just so sensual. I love it. I'd love to see what some of those products look like on someone who's had the body of a middle-aged woman since the age of 12. You know, someone who doesn't throw their leg up every time WAP comes on, but instead will actually go and get you a bucket and a mop for your wet-ass pussy. I would love to see what a mesh crotchless cat suit looks like on someone named Patricia. We all know Patricia. She's practical. She's busy. She's tired. Hey, Patricia can be sexy when she wants to be, hey. But if her husband tries to have sex with her more than twice a month, she'll call the police. Can you imagine Patricia backstage as well, getting ready to go out? Like Cindy Crawford is back there just being Cindy fucking Crawford, being amazing. Lizzo is backstage. Lizzo just like fucking yeah.
She twerks, then mimes playing the flute.
Bitch! And then they're like, all right, Patricia, it's your turn. You ready? And Patricia's like, yeah. I've been here for 40 minutes. Parking's a bitch. Can you hurry up, please? I've got to do school pickup in 20 minutes. And then Patricia would come forward and she would talk you through the pros and cons of every product. Hi there, how are you going? Patricia here. I'm not going to waste your time. Just wanting to talk to you about the leather thong that I'm wearing. We don't recommend wearing this after having a spicy curry.
She shakes her head.
Because look, as you know, it doesn't matter how many times you wipe, sometimes things get stuck. Just let you know about the colours. This one comes in red, standard black, and for a limited time only, puce. Now, moving on to the nipple tassels. For you queens out there who, like me, have nipples the size of dinner plates.
She holds two fingers spread over her breast.
Don't get these. Hold out for the silk pasties, yeah? They'll be in a month. And just lastly, I wanted to talk to you all about the low-rise lace brief that I've got on. Getting a lot of emails online about this. You are wanting to know if you should purchase this particular product if you have a gunt.
She pats the area above her crotch.
And we say, abso-fucking-lutely. We are all about the gunt. We don't want you to shy away from said gunt. Instead, we want you to lean into it, yeah? And just make a clear choice to either tuck her in Or just let her hang out.
Celeste pulls up her shirt to reveal a roll of fat hanging over the top of her patterned shorts. She grins and walks over to the small table. She stands to the side as she drinks.
I just want to make sure all the cameras can get it.
She turns slowly.
All the guys in the cameras are like, yeah, we've got it. So recently, I wrapped filming on my first Netflix TV show. Which, yeah, thanks. Thanks, you guys, it was awesome. And in the show, I had to do my first ever sex scene. And I had to come, I had to orgasm in the scene. So much so that the first line of the scene is me saying, oh shit, I'm coming. Sorry, ladies, that means to finish. Yeah. Yeah. All the men are like, she's right, that's what it means. So I was talking to my husband about it, and I was like, you know, I've got to do this sex scene. He said, oh, how are you feeling about it? I went, oh, I'm all right. I mean, I'm a little bit nervous because I have to come, I have to orgasm in it. And he went, oh.
She grimaces.
Oh. What face are you going to pull?
She makes a face, then steps back. She blocks the side of her face with her hand and shakes her head.
And I was like, I don't know, the one I pull twice a year? Fuck off. So I got to set and I met my scene partner and he was lovely and we were just talking through the scene and he said to me, you know, is there anything that you don't want me to do? And I went, no, it's all right. Oh, actually, yeah. Is it okay if you don't fondle with my double chin as a kink? Is that okay?
She pushes her chin in.
He was more than okay with that, so that's good. Now, in the industry now, we have what's called intimacy coaches or intimacy coordinators, right? And they are fantastic. They are there to keep us safe from Harvey Weinstein, essentially. That's a big job. They're there to make sure, you know, that all our lettuce leaves are packed away and that everyone knows where they can and can't touch, right? And how hard they can and can't touch. And our intimacy coordinator was amazing. She was an ex-professional dancer who had finished a tour with Chicago the Musical. So she had some excellent tips for us, right? So in the scene, I had to be on top of him. And again, ladies, supposedly an option.
She squints, then puts a hand on her hip.
On top? Because, you know, I just usually get into bed, lie on my side and wait, really.
Celeste crosses her arms and squeezes her eyes shut as she yawns. She looks back and nods, then gives a thumbs up. She pretends to swipe the screen of a phone. She raises her eyebrows and presses it twice.
Not this time. To be on top? Like, what is this, some sort of exotic French film?
She tosses her hair back slightly.
So, I'm on top of him, and I turned to the intimacy coach and I was like, can you please come here for a second? And she came over and I went, what do I do with my face? Because, like, I'm an actor, you guys. I know how to act. I know how to act that.
She gestures downwards, then holds her hand out and gives the audience a look.
But this is TV! I didn't know what to do, and she had the best tip for me. She said, you know when you put a Q-tip in your ear?
Huh. Celeste mimes using a cotton swab in her ear. She closes her eyes, then gapes as she turns her hand.
Take it home, ladies!
She points to various sections of the crowd.
Take it home! This is my gift to you. All you girls are going to get home tonight and your partners are going to be like, hey, you want to get into it? And you'll be like, yeah, I'll just get the Q-tips, wait.
She pretends to rush off.
All you bitches are going to DM me with photos like this.
She mimes using a cotton swab and sticks her tongue out.
Q-tip, genius. So I've got my face sorted, ready to go. And we're there. And we had to rehearse it, right? And so we were kind of just shut up. We were going through the movements.
She hip thrusts.
Going through the movements and everything of it. And she came over to me and she was saying about my hips. She's like, at the moment, you're kind of like pushing forward a lot. Why don't you instead try like popping them back? Popping them back like that. And I went, who fucks like that?
Celeste makes a face. She thrusts her butt out as she moves her hips. She stops and shakes her head.
And she said, people that come.
Celeste raises her eyebrows and nods.
Oh, all these people that come. Oh, fucking people that come. Oh, God. So we finished rehearsal and we're about to do a take. And as the director called action, she 5, 6, 7, 8ed me into it. I was like, all right, bitch, you didn't come to play. Let's fucking go, huh?
She hip thrusts quickly.
Huh? So we're doing it and, you know, I felt awesome as well. I had all hair and makeup done. The lighting was amazing and it was a closed set, which means there was hardly anyone there. So we're kind of doing it. And I looked down and my scene partner was looking up at me going, you're doing great, sweetie. Thanks. So we're doing it. We got all different angles and everything. And the director called cut. And we're all like, yay, we did it. Because to be honest with you, I was actually really nervous about it. Because, you know, you hear horror stories about this sort of stuff. But I have to say, it was a really positive experience for me. I felt really looked after and really safe. And actually just felt really kind of liberated at the end of it. So I'm one of the executive producers on the show, and I asked if they could just send me just a little edit that night. And yeah, they did. I sent it over that night. I got home, got it all set up, and poured myself a little glass of wine, and I started watching it. Oh my God. I don't know what happened. Honestly, I thought I was giving my best, like, Demi Moore, like, striptease vibes. I wasn't. I looked like a fucking terrier trying to hump a tennis ball.
Celeste backs up and turns to the side. She humps the air rapidly with her hands held in front of her. She looks at the audience, then stops.
My husband had every right to be worried about what face I was going to pull. The only way to describe what face I was pulling was like a silent machine gun. Like,
She sticks her tongue out and humps the air quickly again. She gives a thumbs up to her imaginary partner, then mimes using a cotton swab. She points off to the side and gives another thumbs up. She stops humping and walks over to the mic stand. She carries it to the middle of the stage. She puts her mic back on it.
So you guys need to make sure you all keep your eye out for my new Netflix TV show, yeah? Thanks for coming out, Sydney!
Celeste holds up her hands to the crowd. The lights shift on a sign behind her that reads, Celeste Barber, fine thanks. She claps and waves as she walks to one side of the stage. She waves, then walks to the opposite side of the stage. A short-haired man with light brown skin comes out and gives her a cell phone. He kisses her, then leaves. She holds up her phone.
Ready? Go!
Celeste pumps her hand as she aims her phone at the audience. She nods the beat and walks slowly across the stage with her phone held up. People in the audience stand and clap in rhythm. She aims the phone at the sign behind her. Celeste lowers her phone and blows a kiss. Celeste jogs off the stage. The sign of her name glows at the back. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Betty Capot. Voiced by Sarah Wadsley. Credits. Written and performed by Celeste Barber. Executive producers. Celeste Barber, Andy McIntyre, Stephen Fisher, Trevor Engelson, Lisa Mann. Director, Catherine Vanderwolf. Creative director, Nicole Dixon. Show caller, Michelle Wyatt. Producer, Sarah Benhamrad. Executive in charge of production, Kay Lawrence. Lighting director, Francesco Calvi. Credits continue. Copyright 2023, Netflix Worldwide Entertainment, LLC. All rights reserved.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.